From the start of my life, that's sweep, I open my eyes protectively to find that I don't smile in the stinging, gazing with a trembling melody.
Look out! The lever! Get away from that lever! You'll blow us all to atoms!
Hey there, welcome everyone to another episode of That Record Got Me. Hi, I'm your humble host, Rob Elba. Thank you all for stopping by. You know, we recently started our seventh season of the podcast. This is episode number 340, I believe, which means we've been putting out at least one new episode every week for over 6 years now. I recently read that 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 3, and of the podcasts that do make it past their third episode, 90% of those quit after 20 episodes. So there, why am I telling you all this? I don't know, but I do know that I still really enjoy doing this every week, and I really appreciate all who listen, either casually or regularly. Look, basically, this is a one-man operation, and it is a lot of work. But knowing that there are many of you out there who are fans of the show fills me with gratitude, seriously. Just a reminder, if you are a regular listener and would like to help out the show, get a little insider info on the podcast, and participate in our super fun patron-curated episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/TRJMH, and for as little as $2 a month, you can become a patron and help me keep doing whatever it is I think I'm doing here. My guest today will be very familiar to longtime listeners. He is the co-creator of That Record Got Me High, and for the first four seasons was a co-host of the show. Of course, I'm talking about our own Barry Stock. After taking a little hiatus, I'm happy to say that Barry has been making music again. He has a bunch of new releases out on both Mutant Sounds Net Label, our friend Jay Reeves' label Mutant Sounds, and also on his own, which can be found on Bandcamp on barryrstock.bandcamp.com. It's really great stuff. Barry's music is quirky, it's intense, and at times it's vaguely disturbing. So in that spirit, the record Barry chose to discuss this week is Butthole Surfer's mind-blowing 1984 full-length debut, Psychic Powerless, Another Man's Sack. Barry is living in Oakland, California now, and he flew into Burbank Airport, right near where I live, so we could do this in person. It was great seeing Barry and his wife, Susan, again, and it was really great getting to sit down and talk music with him again. So here is our conversation. All right, so actually, but before we get into this, I want to discuss on here the music you've been doing lately, like a lot, but did you take a break from making music, or did you just take a break from putting it out there?
I really sort of took a break.
You did, right?
You know, because I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to find people to play with. I'm going to find people to play with. Right, I'm going to find. And then we moved to California. I'm like, I'm not going to find any. You know, I'm 59 or 58 or
it's
whatever.
It's hard. Yeah,
it's hard. Very hard. And then Bill did the four guitars thing, and I was like, God, I used to make music like this.
Right.
In
right,
the
right.
80s, I used to just on my four track. And I just started doing it and putting it out. And it does reek of something that one person does by themselves. And it's hard to get away from that. I'm not Todd Rundgren. I can't
right.
make myself sound like. But I got one that I'm going to put up today that's really fucking crazy. But, you know, I can put out what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I feel like it's the quality. You know, there's some stuff that I did that I'm like, you know, but now I'm like, okay, I wait until I'm sure that it's something that I'm proud of, or at least that I'm not going to cringe putting out.
Yeah, yeah. No, but and it sounds really good. I think you're getting like really good recording quality.
The GarageBand fucking drums, if you learn how to use them, they're great.
The last one you put out, I was like, wait, does he have a live drummer? Is that a...
If you know how to tweak it, it's just like, oh, so this sounds pretty good, you know?
It really does. So it doesn't... In a way, you could tell, obviously, it's you. It's like all you all on top of itself. Yeah. But it really... it's great. It's good stuff. And I'm just glad to hear. But I was wondering. So you did. You just took a break, and that's cool. You got re-inspired, and you're making music.
I did, yeah. Plus, frankly, having my camera stolen... I kind of don't go out and take pictures as much anymore, so I have to do something.
Yes.
So it's like that, you know?
You're creative. You got to have some kind of creative outlet. Yeah, that's why I feel like this show. That's why I keep doing this goddamn podcast, because it's my one creative outlet.
You got to have something.
You got to have something. You really do. Or you're going to go nuts, because you're just like...
Or start, you're going to stagnate.
Right. So where's the best place if someone wants to hear your music? Just Bandcamp, right? Is it...
Bandcamp. Or, you know, eventually I make little videos and put them on YouTube. If you really don't want to pay for it on Bandcamp, then...
But it's very reasonable. I mean, come on.
Right. You can get my entire discography for $9 now.
I just did that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they're $1 each for the records. Plus my album on Jay Reeves... Mutant Sounds, my record's like $5.
Right. And that's great too. Yeah. Mutant Sound. And Jay, I can't believe, man, Jay's on a tear of getting his shit put out.
Yeah. Apparently, I was the best selling release.
Oh, nice.
Last year.
Look at that.
I think we sold like 12. And people are like, man, you should get some CDs pressed. I'm like, yeah, I need a fucking closet full of CDs.
No.
Butthole surfers.
Let's do some butthole.
Okay.
So, all right. So my first question to you, this, I think, in listening to this, I realized a butthole surfer, this was the first thing I ever heard from you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You too?
It was the first thing I really paid attention to, because I think here he comes, Billy Taylor.
So glad we got a Billy Taylor.
Had the EP, which has the like child with a swollen stomach on the cover, and it's got Shaw Sleeps in Lee Harvey's Grave.
There's a time to fuck and a time to cry, but the Shaw sleeps in Lee Harvey's grave.
Had that, but then so this guy named Joe Brock from South Florida, I was with him and another guy named Matt Gorney, and Joe had just come back from New York, and he said, oh my god, I saw the Butthole Surfers and they were unbelievable. Gibby was wearing a mini skirt. It was at the Peppermint Lounge, and Gibby was wearing a mini skirt with no underwear on underneath it. And he goes, and I gotta play you this record. And he had Psychic Powerless, and he put it on, and we were like, wow. And then he, of course, you get to Lady Sniff, and you're like, oh shit.
Yes. Oh my god.
And so, of course, I went out and bought it. And yeah, this my, you know, of all the, to me, this is their peak, even though. You know, they made some good records, and they made some 90s records, and they made some, you know, there's some hits and stuff, but...
Yeah, this is shockingly, like, right?
I know. You go, how did that happen?
Right.
But this is like this is the demented core of their sound, and I think this is the first one with two drummers, right? This is the first one with King and Teresa.
Right, King Coffee and Teresa Nervosa. And the whole, as a whole, the whole thing really holds up,
too. It does, yeah. No, I mean, they complained about the recording quality. Apparently, it was done in a cheap studio. They didn't have money. But you know what? It's perfect. It sounds like an alternative record from the 80s, and with just this insane... You know, it's just as insane today as it was. It wasn't like one of the things where you go, oh, society's grown into this.
At its time, yeah. It seemed like sort of off-putting and shocking at the time, but now, no, it still is.
It still is. Yeah. They're nuts. They're totally nuts.
They're nuts, and always a little, I've always found them scary. Like, there was always something a little scary about them.
Well, there's one story about them that will illustrate that, is they... used to, first of all, they had a, when they toured, they had a pit bull named, it was a female pit bull named Mark Farner from the Grand Funk Railroad, who stayed in the van. And so when they went in places with the equipment in the van, they left Mark Farner in the van. And so,
brilliant.
Nobody's, if you're going to hear that dog in there, you're like,
no one's going to fuck with your shit.
Nobody's going to break in there and steal your shit. And also, they were known for Gibby had a gun, and if the promoter didn't pay up, he would hold the gun on the promoter until he paid. There's a libertarian crazy streak in them. That's
They weren't just like punk kids, being punk, getting on the punk trend or anything. They were real outsiders.
Fucking weirdo outsiders.
Yeah, weirdo outsiders, yeah.
Yeah.
But that also made really great music, and there's so much. I forgot all the extra stuff thrown on there and all the sounds.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of care put into all this.
There is. It was not haphazard. Although it is, I think it's concocted to appear that way, and later on is, you know, the drug use got more intense as they got more money, and especially Gibby, I think.
Right.
Did a lot of drugs. Maybe some of it was a little less scripted. Another blast from the past. When we were on our honeymoon, Susan and I, back in 1990, we were in New York, and a friend of ours was house-sitting for Kim and Thurston from Sonic Youth, because he was dating their lighting person, Suzanne. And so his name was Stuart Fletcher, and so Stuart was living in a horrible apartment on Avenue C. And so he, like, on our honeymoon, he, like, came and stayed in our hotel room with us.
Oh, Jesus.
And he goes, you want to go over to Kim and Thurston's and watch some videos? And we're like, fuck yeah. They're not home. They're out.
Right,
so
right. This
is their Chinatown place, their rent control place. So we go over there, and there's a couple of videos he showed us. And one was an early video of, well, it was Dinosaur Jr., but they were Jay and Lou were trying to kill each other on stage, not fake try to kill each other.
Right.
Lou was swinging his Rickenbacker bass around his head by the strap, trying to hit Jay in the head with it. And the other one was Buttholes in New York, and Gibby was he was naked. He was fully naked, and he and the topless dancer. It happened, but it wasn't on the video we saw. But he had sex with a topless dancer on stage.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then he had to go back hat in hand the next day to the club, I guess it was the Mud Club, and apologize. So those are...
I'm sorry.
There's my... Yeah, I'm very sorry. I was...
I don't know what got into me. Oh, my God. Yeah, so... And
the devil. A lot of people would listen to them and say, this is devil music.
Yeah. And this might be the one instrument where I may say, maybe. who am I to say? I should mention that this is on they have a Bandcamp, and it's funny. There's three versions of this
there
on Bandcamp because they remastered it once and then they remastered it
again.
Well,
there's a 24-bit version. It's like $13.
Right.
And then there's a CD quality version, which is like $10. Frankly, it's just not recorded that well. Just buy the $10 one because I compared it to my versions. I'm like, it sounds exactly.
It's still saying, yeah. I mean, and it sounds great. Like you said, it has that. It has a bit of that lo-fi thing going on, but not really completely. And it's definitely not samey sounding either.
No,
But
just if you're going to buy it, go for the $10 version because you're.
I think so.
I don't. You do not need a 24-bit version of this recorded in a $25 an hour studio record.
Right. All right. So 1984, this was released December 1984 on a Touch and Go Records in America and Fundamental Records in England.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's just get into the first. So you're Billy Taylor is, they said, man, you got to listen to this shit.
No, this was Joe Brock. I may have turned Billy Taylor onto this one.
Okay. Nice. Here's the opening track, Concubine.
Yeah.
So right away, it gets kind of creepy. Now, yeah. do you think Gibby...
He's singing through a microphone for this.
But he's like, you know, obviously that's a thing that's been done afterwards. Sure. But he maybe was like he one was, of the first person, he was, people
that was
to
his
do
thing.
That.
Yeah, he was definitely his thing. And my theory about this, a lot of this record, is some of the songs where it's just... I think it's basically him... his bad dreams, and he's translating his whatever nightmares he's had.
Oh, okay.
He's written down, like this one, "You're my concubine." He says the word scapula, but maybe he means scalpel, and "you suck my blood." You're my, you know, it's just about some, it's just this wild, whacked out gibberish.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the lyrics online are wrong. If, like, if you go,
oh,
to,
yeah, they are. They're,
this is not what he's saying. Like, the song "Wooly Bully," once we get there, I'm like, no, this is, no one knows except him what he was saying on there.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And I think I actually read something funny. He said basically he liked a concubine the way it sounded. He just liked how it sounded at first. And then later he looked up, well, what is that? What is a concubine?
Yeah, he doesn't, he's just making shit up, but it's, you know, it worked. Definitely worked.
It worked, and they had a, there's a lot of psychedelic, I guess this, you know, people will say psychedelic, but there's so much more going on than just that. They get these, like, grooves going on. And
yeah, the only thing, the only band that sort of hoed that row before them would be Shockabilly.
Oh, right.
Shock and Bully's records came out, and they were on, I think they were on Fundamental in England. And, of course, Kramer eventually ended up playing
with
them.
There's a connection, right?
There's a connection.
That's right.
And they had that, but Shock and Bully was not, did not have the menacing aspect that the Buttholes.
Exactly. That was the word that I was looking for, was the menace.
Like,
yeah.
They're not, in their lives, you know, there's a video that was on Touch and Go, this famous VHS video of them sitting around, they're tripping balls and they're just doing crazy shit. And we watched it like on repeat in the like 86, 87. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but and you go, you get through with it and you're like, yeah, they're not fucking around.
No. And this is, yeah, it's great. You almost want to, you appreciate it as an observer, but I wouldn't want to be in that scene.
No. Because they're hardcore. They're hardcore. I can't hang.
No, definitely. 100% I would not be able to hang. All right, so we get a little quick one. This is, listen to Eye of the Chicken. You know, it's funny when you think about other music that was going on that time in 84, and this is just like so far removed.
It's sideways
from all that.
Oh, yeah, it is. They've got their own, they made their own niche, and then they stayed in that niche, and somehow at some point they got a major label deal.
I know, Butthole with the band, but because that's the one thing I want to talk about. First of all, you call your band the Butthole Surfers, so you know it's like bands, you know, there's a band called Fucked Up, but like you're automatically, you're saying, oh, well, you're not going to get played on the radio, but they ended up getting played on the radio. Pepper, that song Pepper was kind of like a modern rock hit.
Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes.
They would say like BH Surfers or whatever. And some of their band names, they had other band names that they had that were the ones that we actually had a party in Oakland last week. And this woman we know is like, their band names are great. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I knew the same list.
Yes.
One of them was 50 Foot Worm Makes Own Food.
Yep.
the The Sex Clark Five, was that right?
Ed Asner is
Ed
gay.
Ed Asner's gay. And then, something about eating somebody's asshole.
The inalienable right to eat Fred Astaire's asshole.
Well, butthole surfing is when a dog needs to have its anal glands expressed and it drags its ass across the carpet.
I didn't know there was an actual...
Well, that's how it was, you know, that's the popular understanding is butthole surfing is, you know, everybody knows what it looks like. It's like, that's gross. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You paint a picture. They really could.
According to them, someone just came up to them and said that they were butthole surfers after a gig and they were like, okay.
That's great. All right, so Dum Dum, this is really interesting because I didn't know about this until I was just researching the record, that the drum pattern is from what?
Oh, I don't know. You got me.
From the Black Sabbath song, Children of the Grave, Master of Reality. Yeah. Which I guess they've done a couple times. They've taken
a lot. They've listened to a lot.
Now, Master of Reality, that's not the one you listened to when you were like 8 years old, is it?
That's the one my grandparents bought for me.
Look at that. See, you were, it's all foretold.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah.
All right. But it's in there for sure.
That's true. I had not made that connection, but you're right.
Yep, look at that. Mm. So let's do a little bit of Dum Dum.
They changed it up enough so they wouldn't get sued.
Yeah. Butthole Surfer is not on Black Sabbath's radar, I'm sure. That's a great bass and drum sound,
yeah.
I think. That
it
sounds
is.
Great.
Yeah.
In that song.
They don't... A lot of what they did was intentional.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially I think probably Paul was sort of had... He seemed like the one who's had his eye on the ball, you know, when Gibby would be doing whatever crazy shit.
But, right.
And that's the first song on the record where you go, oh, that's a song.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, there's actual... And, you know, the story with Gibby is Gibby's dad was a popular television... We probably went over this in the episode we did with Tim Moffat, but his dad was His dad was a children's entertainer in Dallas, San Antonio. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, his dad was Skipper Chuck or Bozo.
Right.
And so, imagine growing up, you know.
Yeah, that's creepy right there.
Your dad is that guy, and everybody knows. Hey, Gibby, what's going on, man? And then Gibby was a fucking accountant.
He's a
CPA. He has you go, really? And he met Paul. They were in college, and then, you know, there's some sort of like, you know, Wonder Twin Powers activate thing.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, these are smart guys. They aren't idiots.
No.
They're crazy, yeah. But they're not idiots.
Because there are crazy bands where their people are idiots.
Yeah, right.
This is not that. This is the Ramones, where it's a band of people that it's the, you know, smart people acting dumb.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to point out, also the beginning, which I kind of just realized now, very with the bass and drums and that the guitar sound, Mission of Burma-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, sure. Those guys were listening to, you know, they were listening to the same shit we were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but there's also a, I felt like, especially on this record, that Gibby is doing Lux Interior a lot.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing I was thinking of, especially like in that.
Cramps,
for sure. Yeah, they're sort of mining the same, you know.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
But great. Both great. And
But the stage presence of Gibby as well, he learned a lot from he must have seen the Cramps, and Lux and Tyrion's like, oh,
yeah,
that's how you be.
Right, right, right. But I would sit and have a cup of coffee with Lux and Tyrion. I don't know if I'd want to sit.
I think Gibby's okay now. I think it's been
now,
a long
probably
now
time. He's okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I don't think
you
I would.
You see that Daniel Johnson documentary? The Devil and Daniel Johnson?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Where
that's right,
he's
yeah.
Gibby's having dental work, and they're interviewing him. They said, we did not give LSD to Daniel Johnson. Johnston, we knew better than that.
Right. That's great. All right. Willy Bully, if you want to have fun, look up the lyrics online just because they're
wrong.
Hysterical. They're
and I made a very concerted effort to figure out what he was saying. I even isolated the vocals and stuff, and I thought, oh, I've got it. And then I would go back and listen to it. I'd be like, no, that's not. Something about barbecue, something about Barbie is lying, something about a knife. There is a knife in there. He gets stabbed.
Yeah.
There's a magazine. Other than that.
But it's just a guessing. It would all be guesswork.
Yeah.
It is.
But I think it's a bad dream.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. No, I think that's actually very strong. That's strong. That makes yeah. sense. All right, let's do Wally a little bit of Willy Bully. Oh, I know. I would love some of these songs. I would love to just see what it was like in the studio.
Wall.
Him doing the, you know, these vocal takes.
Man.
And
yeah.
The engineer going, do it one more time, Gibby, maybe?
I don't know. I see the man. I see the girl. I see the world. I see everything. Yeah, he's just, I don't know. It's crazy shit. And if you look on Genius and you go, that is complete fabrication.
Yeah, yeah, no, because you sort of, well, it could be this, and then you
this,
just
right.
go with it, but it, and you try and make it make sense, which is probably the wrong way to go.
Not a lot, yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense, so, yeah.
But it's great, and I love, well, listening to it, I really appreciate, he's a character, obviously, but he has a character in
his voice. For sure,
he's very good at putting that across, and it's just, it's
a lunatic.
Great.
Oh, I think the first line is, the best I can work out, the first line is, I went to the middle of a psycho ward. And so, a psycho ward was, like, in the mental hospital, like, the seventh floor, they take it to the seventh floor,
right.
And that sort of is... That's as far as, you know, I can be completely sure about.
Right.
So
that's great.
You want to do the disclaimer on this next one?
Yeah. So people will notice if you go look for this album anywhere, on Spotify, on Bandcamp, there's 10 songs. Because there's an 11th song, which is song number 5, which is on the original one me and Barry had back in the day. But it's not there anymore. And it's just...
Is it not on the Bandcamp ones?
No, not at all.
Wow.
Not on any of them.
Holy shit.
And not on Spotify. Yeah, nowhere.
I didn't even notice.
Yep, it's not. They did it. And you know what? I understand why they did it, because why go through the hassle of it? Why go through someone
it's
saying,
not worth
oh,
it. It's
yeah,
not
it's,
worth it.
It isn't worth it.
But once again, I think he's describing a weird dream.
Yeah, yeah. For the actual meaning of the song, it's...
I think it's like they're coming down. They're aliens coming down in spaceships and looking at everything.
Yeah.
But they happen to be Negroes.
Yeah.
And that was a term which in Texas in 1984 was flat out was like just used on a daily basis. You were lucky if that was the term.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And we're, yeah, I guess we're lucky that that's what they called it. And
well, no, I don't think they were using the other word, but
no,
from
no.
where they are, from where they came from, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. But, and it's a song, and at the end of the day, it's a really good song.
It's a great song.
Gibby's playing saxophone on it.
Yeah, yep.
And I guess, yeah, this was a live favorite, but yeah, you're not going to find it in the version now because they just don't need that.
The hassle. That, yeah,
but it's nothing. Yeah, there's
nothing derogatory about it, except for the fact they used the word that is no longer in use.
There you go. So let's listen to track number 5, New Girls. Great song, and one thing you could appreciate about it, you understand everything he's saying in this one.
Yeah,
you understand.
Yes, Oh, he definitely was made an effort to be like, oh no, this is a song.
There's a song, and he's telling a little story, like it's a crazy batshit story.
It's a batshit story about aliens who land and are looking at they land in empty parking lots, deserted discount stores.
Right, right.
So the creepy vibe is there too, because we all know that vibe of. The empty space that's like used to be inhabited.
Yes, exactly. And then they're observing. They're just observing everything.
The next track is another one I'm like where there are lyrics that they say that they are. And maybe these are somewhat correct.
Oh, right, right, right. But this, I even before I heard this record, I heard this song. I was listening to one of these things or something. I heard, this song called Butthole Surfer by this band, Butthole Surfers. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
And, it's great. I guess it's like their,
anthem.
Yeah, their anthem. Butthole Surfer. Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah, I think that those are probably correct, as correct as you're going to get. I don't know if they'd been to California. He's just making shit up here.
Oh, right, 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 right. Yeah, who knows?
Riding a wave around Malibu Beach. Sure.
Yeah, right.
Sure, Gibby.
Yeah, yeah.
You got surfing magazines, right?
Yeah, well, Thrasher, that's it. Because right from the beginning, they had the little surfer thing, which is funny for a band from, where they're from, Austin, Texas. Yeah. And what do you guys know about?
They're from San Antonio. They moved to Austin. There's some mobile jug. They lived in Athens, Georgia for a while in a bus.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
With the bus and it.
Not at the same time you lived there, right?
No, they was in the 80s.
Okay.
They had something rude about Michael Stipe spray painted on the
side
of their
bus. Yes, that's right. I read that.
Michael Stipe, I want to suck your big long pipe, I think was the what was written.
Which is
there.
Which is not nice, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, right. And you know, I'm sure he was aware of it. So
yeah.
And then they moved, but yeah, they left and went back to Texas, I think.
Right. All right, so this is the song, Lady Snip.
Oh, that's, fuck yeah.
Oh,
bro.
My God. It's, so it's got.
This is the one. El Señor. This is El Señor.
It's just so great. We'll listen to some of it, but I've never heard a band use like found sounds so well. Like there was spitting and farting and vomiting. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't.
And making fun of like truck stop kind of dumbass people.
Yes. Right.
No offense.
No. To you truck stop dumbass people out there.
All your fans that are truck stop dumbasses.
Oh, my God.
Hey, what did he say?
I want to know. The only thing I want to know is when he recorded this in the studio, was he spitting into something or was he just spitting on the studio floor?
That's a great, maybe at a cup. I don't know.
Because it's a real, legit, that is, it's yeah, not yeah. someone miming.
Yeah, it's not. No, that's the sound.
It's the
Here
sound.
We go.
Lady Sniff. It's visceral.
I think they recorded those sounds beforehand and they had them on and they brought them into the studio and mixed them in.
But it's done so well, too. They did such a good
timing.
Job with it.
Oh, yeah. The timing is perfect. Perfect. So, yeah, there's, you know, the lyrics are just demented. And if you, I mean, they're wrong on Genius, but they're close. But if you listen, you can figure out what he's saying. It's just some sort of serial killer trailer park.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
Ed Gein situation.
Yeah. That's, again, it's the sort of like the slightly disconcerting, ooh, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they're not fucking around.
They're not. But I love, the part where at one point they have a little clip from a Spanish radio station or something coming. Yeah. It just
it's
kills
the
me.
Random ass. There's also, yeah, there's a bird.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a duck sound or like just this stuff and. And then at the end, of course, I guess where I got the truck stop from, at the end is the sound of a semi
driving
away.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Subconsciously, they put you in that headspace.
For sure. So
next one.
Ooh. Yeah, Cherub is like the psychedelic, yeah. Like, you know.
Very. I think the lyrics of this are describing, there's part of this where he's describing a car wreck. And they may have, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's not a, you know, it's a bad scene.
Yeah,
it's,
no. I see bodies. Maybe someone is alive.
Yeah.
It is. It's dark and it's sad. I mean, I'm playing a clip, but really, you gotta listen to the whole song.
Yeah.
You do. So I implore everyone to do that. But let's just listen to a little bit of Cherub.
Thank you.
So, yeah, when I was listening to this whole album, I was also thinking
about Jonestown.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When did Jonestown happen before this, right? Jonestown was
early 80s.
And I remember that there was like film video footage.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's like, it's got that.
Yeah, they would eat that shit up. Gibby eats that shit up. Yeah,
exactly. But I think he's affected by, I don't think that it's, I get the feeling a lot of this is things that he found disturbing and he's just venting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he's like a, I mean, he, you know, I think there's legitimate horror at some of the things he's saying.
right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
He's not just saying it to be funny. I think he probably was affected by stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get to be Gibby
Haynes.
Yeah.
And it's like, look how fucked up this is. I'm sharing this with you just so you can share how fucked up this is.
Exactly.
So I was going to ask you, listening through the whole album, I'm thinking Paul Leary's guitar had an influence on you, right?
Sure. Oh, totally. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. I listened to this, you know, this record and the one after it, Rembrandt Pussy Horse and Locust Abortion Technician. I listened to that one a lot. Yeah. Locust Abortion Technician. Those are, yes.
Yeah.
Because he simultaneously knows how to play guitar and he knows how to make it sound like he doesn't know how to play guitar.
That's it. He's of the school of the guitar players that make it sound like something else, not your traditional rock guitar.
Oh my God, yeah. When I saw him in 87, he came out on stage and he had this detuned Dan Electro guitar and he was just hitting this massive chord and he was stomping.
Oh yeah, there's video of him playing that guitar, that Dan Electro.
And his eyes were crossed and he came walking out playing this and it's incredibly loud and it just sort of that vibe, shit just got real vibe. They knew how to do that.
Right.
Oh, and they had the films playing with the
That's right. We didn't even mention that. Right. Yeah, like
they had a topless dancer on that tour, and they also had films they would play before and during the show. They were old color films of sex change surgery.
Yes, that's right. Surgery. Yeah, sex change. And
so they know, I mean, they're setting a scene for like, you know, this is
not
an
your
experience.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. This isn't your grandma's punk band.
No. Not at all.
All right, so Mexican Caravan, I love this song.
Me too.
And it's very, it's like a little amusing little surf song about heroin, about going scoring
to buy
heroin.
Going some heroin south of the border. Yep.
Which I guess eventually became a bit of a problem. Yeah. There's some interesting thing about the musicality of this one. We'll discuss it. Okay. Let's listen to it and then we'll talk Mexican Caravan. Yeah, Paul Leary's guitar playing in this is like
great.
Off the chain.
Two influences that definitely they might not cop to, but there's definitely are in there are Bauhaus and Joy Division.
Yes, Bauhaus for sure. But there's a third one, especially the beginning, the way it opens, Dead Kennedys.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck yeah. Oh well, yeah. Right.
And they were on Alternative Tentacles, right? I think they had a problem with getting paid by them, so that's why they ended up going
not the you know go. Those labels.
They do the best they can, but paying artists isn't, you know, number one on.
Right. Don't bring up, well, we're in L.A., so to Greg Ginn, you know, you can might as well SST and their business practices.
Right. Notorious. But at the end of the day, yeah, just a great song. I forgot. Some of these songs I forget.
It's a really good record.
No, yeah, it's so good. All right, so Cowboy Bob.
Oh, man.
Do you know, like, I've read things about who it's about, but do you, I mean, I don't think there's anything definitive. Because somewhere says it's a tribute to a roadie, like a roadie of some other band at the time who was killed. But I don't know. I couldn't really find corroborating evidence. But it's like, it's something sinister with Cowboy Bob.
Wow, well, yeah, it sure is. I never heard that, but I believe that could be true.
Yeah.
We knew someone actually that was a Bottle Surfers roadie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that job?
I think it was in the 90s, and I think his job was to keep Gibby from not going off the rails.
Right. A Gibby handler.
Basically, I think, yeah. Yeah. Kelly, his name is Kelly, and he's a cool guy.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Well, shout out to Kelly, and shout out to Cowboy Bob. Definitely nightmare
and this,
material.
This also, this track owes a lot to TVI Stooges.
Okay, it's got that.
I just heard that and I was like, oh, I never noticed that before. But the riff is like, you know, done. It's very similar to TVI.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now that you mention it, a lot of Stooges, there's definitely, that's in there too.
Big
yeah.
Time. Yeah.
They listen to that. Yeah.
And that's sort of
like Ground Zero.
The Stooges had that same raw, like this is not playtime.
Not fucking around. Totally. They are not fucking around.
Committed.
Yeah, exactly.
Committed. And possibly need to be committed.
Someone, there's always the feeling someone could get hurt at
Show. Same thing with a Stooges. Right. And it was the Stooges, it was the same thing. It was like you go and Iggy's confronting the audience. He's rolling around in broken glass.
Right.
He's,
the singer's going to hurt himself or he's going to hurt someone in
bikers,
the audience.
Yeah, you know, he's deliberately, you know, their skinheads ended the show we saw in Clearwater.
Oh, that's right. I remember that story you told.
It was so good. And the skinheads were enraged because people were having a good time. And
right,
they're Nazis.
Exactly.
So they had to ruin it. It's in Tampa. Fucking Tampa. Fuck you, Tampa, Florida skinheads.
Yep, there you go. But yeah, there was...
Come at me, bro.
Tampa skinheads, you could send your emails directly to Barry Scott.
They ain't gonna listen to that.
Hopefully, all those Tampa skinheads are like dead already, or their kids. Their kids like
your kids. You know, shut up over there.
Their kids probably don't speak to them.
No, I'm sure they don't. Living in a trailer in Tampa, Ybor City.
All right, so Gary Floyd. Who is Gary Floyd?
Gary Floyd, singer of the Dicks, notorious and also out gay singer of the Dicks. So, you know, they, whatever, Gibby had, oddly enough, both Teresa and King Coffee were gay. So, it's not like Gibby's you know, if, you know, he's obviously, I guess it's okay with them that he's singing this about Gary Floyd.
I think so. I think it's very, you know, they toured together and everything. Yeah. I'm sure it's like, this song's called Gary Floyd.
Yeah.
That's great.
Saw an angel by the swimming pool in a two-piece. Oh, and I lost my cool.
I think just the fact that these bands are from Texas, just like Guns were just like...
Guns and Knives and, yeah.
A part of everything.
Well, right. The Dicks are from Texas, too. I mean, you got to think... And remember who was fucking president? Ronald Reagan is president. And it is impossible to overestimate the amount of evil that Ronald Reagan did. And the more time goes on, the more you're like... We watched this documentary on Netflix about this software called Promise Software, where the Reagan administration just, this guy developed this great software. They just stole it from him. And then a judge said, you stole this from him. You have to pay him the money. So they fired the judge, put another judge in place who reversed it, and they didn't have to pay. And there was, it's
evil, just pure evil.
America.
Yeah.
Well, there you go again.
Yep.
Fucking Alzheimer's riddled brain of that shithead.
That was it. That was when, I guess maybe politicians were, there was always evil, but that was when, I feel like that's when it started to be, you know. It
was, Reagan was like, there's a reason he's their savior. Like they look upon him because he was just like, you know.
Yeah. You say, well, fuck the
right-wing Jesus.
Hey, you rich millionaires, do you want to be billionaires?
Yeah. Exactly. And also the AIDS crisis, everything, you know, just the horror of those years because of what we, you know, experience now. But
yeah,
looking back on it, it was 1980. Oh, and the hostages, the fucking hostage deal that he went behind the back. He had one of his guys go and negotiate with the Iranians and give them money and say, don't release the hostages while Carter's in office. And the day,
Right.
2 hours after he's inaugurated, they released the hostages.
Yep. No,
that's just a coincidence, man. Just a coincidence.
Same as it ever was, though. The shit never ends. And
if you find me dead, Rob, it's not an accident. Just saying, man.
But man, yeah, and it's 1984 that this album came out, and it's great, and I'm glad we went to the ground zero of the Butthole Surfers.
This had
to be done.
Yeah, I've been wanting,
and you were the man to do it.
You know, I love this record, and after this, things get a little more spotty for me.
I think, I agree. I mean, obviously, if you could say someone was ill-equipped for the excesses of getting money.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And also just, you know, more and more drugs and continuous touring to make money to buy more and more drugs. And then you get this. And he did that ministry. Remember he did, what was the ministry track he did?
Built My Hot Rod.
Built My Hot Rod.
Yeah.
And the description of the recording session, the guys from Ministry were like, he was completely incoherent.
Yeah, they were. These are the guys in Ministry complaining.
Who were drug addicts.
Yes. Complaining. Like, this guy's...
This is even for us. Too much. This is a lot. Gibby, man, you're extra, buddy.
Yep. That's great. All right. But he's great. At the end of the day, he's great. And he's going to do a touring thing with the School of Rock.
Yeah, he's touring with the Gibby... What's it called, Sue? The Gibby Haynes something, the Gibby Haynes Project, and he tours with children from teenagers from School of Rock. That's are great. His band, and he's playing at a Mosswood Meltdown in July in Oakland, and we will be there.
That sounds like a must-see, actually. That yeah. sounds great.
Yeah, for right. sure. That yeah. sounds awesome. See one of the kids' moms walk on stage and snatch the kid off. I know. You, are you never... What's yeah. he saying?
If someone wants to be really, really make trouble, just send all these kids, the parents, videos, old videos of Gibby.
I'm sure these. You know what?
Let me Google this Gibby Haynes guy.
I think these parents are probably hip.
Hopefully, yeah, you would think so. Well, if they're, don't, they're gonna get hit.
Don't eat anything that he hands you. Don't if he gives you candy.
Exactly. All right, so if you want to check out Barry's music, you go to barrystock.bandcamp.com.
Or bandcamp.com/Barry Stock.
Oh, okay.
Or Barry R. Stock.
Oh, Barry R. Stock, you're right. Forgot the R.
Because the guy from Three Days Grace. There's the bass player from Three Days Grace, that 90s band. And I always feel like I need to differentiate myself. But people will be like, this doesn't sound like Barry Stock from 3 Days. This sounds like 3 Days. I was like, the reason is it's a different guy.
This is Barry R. Stock. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good to know. And also, Mutant Sounds Net Label, Jay Reeves Label. You can find Barry's music
That's
on there.
Right.
The highest selling artist on
yeah.
Mutant
and my
Sound.
Album is called New Wave Disco Ambulance Driver.
Yeah, and it's great. It's really great.
I worked hard on it, and I'm proud of it. So how about that?
I'm really happy that you're making music and that you're doing it. It's great. Other people need to do it because I cannot. I do not have it in me anymore, Barry. So.
Yeah, I understand. Believe me. I sit in my office and do it. So, you know.
No, but it's really good stuff, and I definitely recommend people checking it out.
Thank you.
Once again, don't forget, everyone, if you want to follow me, it's at That Rick Got Me High on Instagram and Facebook. On X, on the horrible X, it's at TRGMH Podcast. Don't forget, you can email me, TRGMH33@gmail.com, unless if you're a Tampa skinhead. Don't email me. I will not accept it.
Nope.
Most importantly, if you want to become a patron, like Barry became a patron.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. It's patreon.com/TRGMH. We have a new Patreon episode coming out soon. We're taking submissions for it, so it's a lot of fun. So, Barry, this was great.
Awesome.
You guys are visiting.
And we live in fucking California now, man.
That's right. We look at us. We live in California. We still don't hang out with Franklin, with Brian Franklin. Because, you know, come on. There's only so much.
Hey,
we can do.
You know. Hey.
All right. Until next week.
He's got
Barry.
Other friends.
Hey, I'm Rob Elba. We'll see you all next week. So he asked me to do that. Bowling. I wanted to join a bowling league.